Okay. Reish Ayin. Excuse me. Aleph. So yesterday we learned a very important yesod. I said the law avoid the pashut. Law avoid the pashut bichlal. Masilas Yesharim brings this in the thanks, but brings this idea in the section dealing with precious, which was already Midas Chasidus. See on the first three Sharim or Midas Sitkas that everybody has to do. Chasidus is already a rung up. That's when he brings this aspect that a lot of what makes us want things is jealousy. So we saw that yesterday, what this aspect of understanding that you have a unique mission, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you here to do something that no one else can do, that you have everything you need to do what you have to do, and therefore looking at somebody else and look at what somebody else has got and wanting what somebody else has got is only going to get you into trouble. The yesurim you have are bad enough. You don't have to make them worse because of that problem, and this gives you, this is a key that helps you to deal with that. There's another dimension, there's another facet over here that this also we'll see now. Another aspect that we get wrong, that this can help us a lot with. Tchushas Ashlichus Me'aseh Lanu B'Nekudas Nosefet. This feeling, this sense, this understanding that I'm busy with the Shlichus, I'm busy with the mission, adds another aspect and helps us in another area. Hayadir She'anu Shlichi Hashem Asayis Lanu Kabelis HaYisurim Ho'ibim Lanu B'Simcha. Knowing this enables us to makabel the Yisurim that we're going through B'Simcha. People go through serious stuff in life. Life's not poshut at all. Kashim b'chinuch hayelodim, hayrim reshnolatzon, noilad lehem yelet pagua, sichlit, or motorit, or children that are retarded, that are problematic, whatever the problems are. We have a lot of difficult situations here. B'mikim ha'elu v'doimim lehen, in this situation, and similar ones, one of the big additions to the problem itself is this feeling that it's my child has a problem. This is my child. Again, it's not just the actual problem that's the problem and that's the source of pain. If this wasn't your child, it was the next door neighbor's child, it was a relative's child, or someone else's child. And you decided to take on and raise this child. There are people that do things like that, you know? There are crazy people in the world that do stuff like that. And so then you wouldn't be embarrassed. My child, look what happened to my child. What have I said? You wouldn't be embarrassed. We'd be very proud of the fact. Take enormous pleasure in the fact that look what a schut Hashem gave me. To raise a child that is such a high neshama. We know from the Vilna Gaon and others, these children that look so-called retarded and Down syndromes and all these things are very high neshamas. So a person will be very, very pleased with himself, very happy that he was zoche to have such a schut. So what's the problem? The minute it's my child, so then all sorts of other negativity starts getting involved. What adds to the yusurim? It's still difficult enough. What adds to the yusurim, makes it worse, is that I have something to do with this. This is somehow concerning me. This is about me, which is nonsense. When a person lives with a correct perspective of reality, that these children are not yours, they're not yours. So much better now. They're not yours. This is a deposit that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to me, and he asked me please to foster this child. These are Kodesh Baruch's children. Just Hashem's a bit busy, so he needs me to kind of help him out and look after his children for him. And if my job in the world, one of my jobs in the world, is to take care and raise a Kodesh Baruch Hu's children, then he's very happy that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him this difficult mission, no question. But this is a very special Hanashom, and Hashem chose me to raise his special child for him. For sure, this is difficult. Don't even know, difficult is not the word. These are real hard nishoinas. When a person comes at the problem with the correct perspective, with the Das Torah perspective, it's much easier to deal with the problem. We're raising a Kodesh Baruch Hu's children. And first of all, he's going to pay you. That's for sure. Hashem's going to pay you well for it. For sure, we're going to get paid for it. For all the trouble, the difficulties, the pain, the anguish, the anxiety, the lying up late at night. We know what goes on to raising children and special needs children even more. You're going to get paid. Don't worry. There's a good salary on a very good pay track here. I mean, Nukudas Hashkof Zoo, we'll come back to this. There's another Nukudia that also needs to be taken out of it, but I just want to take the next step. I mean, Nukudas Hashkof Zoo, I want to take one step a bit deeper. If them is special, if is manly, blib gosh, bezug horog, horim, ashe sikhlu, es bonam haput, vutaba brebicha hapratit shebateem. It's not a simple story. It's not a simple story. Everybody knows somebody or knows somebody that God forbid that son has happened to them. There was a child that a family that he met, whose child, baby, had drowned in their swimming pool, Rahman al Itzlan, Shabbatayim. They didn't lock the gate for whatever reason. There was a negligence there. The gate wasn't locked. Below Masim, the child went in there unnoticed and drowned. Now you have some idea what the parents are feeling, yeah? The feeling of guilt, of a sense of responsibility that they were responsible, that their negligence caused the death of their child, was eating them alive. You can imagine what they were going through. And no idea of what, should never know what that is. So what's the correct perspective on a story like that? Is there a mock? You have to go deep here. Choshev ledat, shatrusha zu, this feeling that somehow my negligence, my action caused this event, zu eine eledas balabati. That's not Das Torah. That's not the Torah's perspective on reality. Hashkofas haTorah biyachas lemikra zu muveres b'gemara b'masecht Shabbos daf lamed beis amad aleph. If you want to know what the Torah says about any situation, then the best place to look is in the Torah itself, correct? What does the Gemara say about this situation? Once we understand how the Torah looks at the situation, then we can help the parents to look at the situation correctly. Because right now they're looking at it completely, completely the opposite of the way the Torah sees it. Tana de Rabbi Ishmael, ki yipul hanoifel mimenoi. It's talking there about the mitzvah of Micah. Person has a mitzvah deraisa. If he wants to use his roof, he has to put a fence around it so that no one will fall off the roof. Correct. And the pasuk uses the lashon ki yipul hanoifel mimen. Ki yipul, if or when he will fall, who's falling? The faller. Ki yipul hanoifel mimenu. Bit of a funny loss. Then the faller will fall off the roof. So Chazal pick up this problem straight away. What's the pasuk telling us? This guy was going to fall off the roof. This was wired into the system. This was part of my sabreshis, that this guy was going to fall off the roof. Trelon Nofel Akosuv Koru Neifel in the past. Rather, how does it work? Hashem rolls merits to somebody who has merits and chiyuvim onto people who have chiyuvim. So we don't understand what's going on in this Gemara. The pasuk says, ki yipul anoifel mimenu. The Gemara tells us that, you know what, this guy that fell off the roof, he was destined to fall off the roof no matter what you would have done. You built a mica, you didn't build a mica. He was going to fall off your roof anyway. Only what? Hashem brings merit to the meritorious and punishments to those that deserve them. That's all that's happening here. Hashem just kind of rolled this guy that had to fall off a roof to your roof because you didn't build a mica. Because I'm just trying to understand what the Gemara is telling us. It doesn't really sound so straightforward. But the Torah commands us to build a mica because maybe someone's going to fall off your roof. That doesn't mean that if you didn't build a mica, you were negligent and you didn't build a mica, you're over an issue in the Torah for sure, and you'll have to deal with it. But thinking that because you didn't build a mica, he fell off the roof and died, is nothing could be further from the truth. That's what we see from this Gemara. The one who created the whole world and set up all the situation knows that this person has to die in this place, at this time, in this way. He has to fall off a roof. That's how he has to die. Why? Because that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in his divine wisdom, worked out has to happen. But Nosef Lakach, slowly. Don't ask questions. Let's get into sugya. This is one of the hardest sugya you'll ever deal with. And it requires you to disentangle and bend your ashkofas back into place. Because we have Daf Balabat. But Sada will deal with all the questions. Let's just get the facts onto the table. So this person had to die. That's when he had to die. Hashem also knows that this guy's not going to build a mica. You're a chayev now. You didn't build a mica. Claimer. Your actions in relation to Dina Shemaim aren't exactly the way they're supposed to be. So what do we have? We have somebody that needs to fall off a roof. That has to happen. With another person who didn't make a mica. That's what the Gemara means. The Kodesh Baruch Hu magalgal the piskos ha'asonate. Hashem rolls this tragedy to his front door. Was I kolot she'enu shav b'tshuva al yitzlach shlusha b'bniyat ha'mica. This is a very important nakuda. Kol zman he doesn't do tshuva because he didn't build a mica. Nechshav hadova ki'ilu hu ha'goyrim es misoso. Consider that he caused the death. Hashem takes parallel lines and he gets them to touch. It's the only way I can explain it. It's not really an explanation, but it gives you something to at least break the ear bit. Parallel lines can't touch by definition, correct? Hashem takes parallel lines and he gets them to touch. This guy was going to fall off a roof that had nothing to do with you. You didn't build a mica. So Hashem threw him off your roof because that's a good roof to throw him off because there's no mica there. Calls man, you don't do tshuva for not building the mica. Hashem considers it like you're responsible for the death. The minute you do tshuva, him falling through had nothing to do with you anymore. Nothing to do with you. You didn't build a mica. You have to do tshuva for not building a mica. What happened to him? What was happening? No matter what, you're going to build a mica to the sky. This guy was going to fall off the roof. Wouldn't have been your roof. It would have been somebody else's roof. What would Hashem do if everybody built micas? I don't know. He would be stuck. And that's probably where he would stay, worrying about it the whole night. I don't know what he would do. We can't ask questions like that. But this person didn't make a mica. So Shem says, oh, perfect. I need him to fall off a roof. You didn't build a mica. Shidduch. And what does he have to do tshuva before the guy died? No, because he died. You know, to do if you're not building a mica. You have to do tshuva because you didn't build a mica. Once you do tshuva not building a mica, you got to build a mica and you do tshuva whatever tshuva required. Say, look, kashur, to you. Ach, Lomazois, Kashi, who shop with Shuva, Schleimer, Behemes, and Metakiris Ashevos. He does proper Shuva and he rectifies what he did. Let Shuva Domishalus, he shorges and rifle. Elisharoi, Hayosh Adam Ze Yomus, Mishesh, his vibration. This person was going to die because that was the decree from Shammai. And your not building a Micah is this Hanhoga that Hashem has in the world. There is Magalgal in Choyval Yedei Chayat. Hashem is that Hanhoga in the world. Nazbir is Adorim B'Yesabir. Let's take this a little bit further. Take a deep breath. We'll deal with it. Calm down. It's all good. The Kol Neshama Yesh Tafkid Meyuchad Sheburuhu Nishlecho Loilam Hazeh. Every Neshama we know is a special purpose, reason why I came into this world. When the Tafkid Zeh, Nitlo Mispasha Not Chayim, Futsot Poilam Hazeh. And everybody's given a certain amount of time, limited. There's an end. Nobody ever left here, except for Eliyahu, to the best of my knowledge, left here alive. And one shouldn't anticipate that you're going to have the same exit strategy as Eliyahu Novi. That would be a bit fantasia. So we assume we are for a limited amount of time. Ein ish ba'olam ha'masugal la'arich es yameya. You can't extend your period of that you. Yeah, I'm not going to solve the question. If you do mitzvah, you get a richus yomim. And if you don't, you get kitzah yomim. There's to be more mukav. I don't want to go there. But be a karon, Hashem decreed, you live 120 years. You live 120 years. You can shorten it. You can lengthen it. And only Hashem really knows what this neshama's job is. What he needs to do to fulfill his mission, yeah? As far as Hashem's concerned, it's all kind of, you know, it's all, you can see everything. Hashem knows exactly when he's leaving the world. And also in what way he's going to die. Why in Rosh Hashanah then are we having the Son of Tokev? Because it's every, big questions. Greater minds than yours of mind, these are big sugyas. You can't go into the sugyas superficially. You have to sit down and learn the whole sugya properly. Nothing of tomorrow. There's not just one din on Rosh Hashanah. There's a din every day. There's a din every second. Exactly how these things all interweave and work together, whatever, is a bit beyond my capabilities for you at the moment. But we have to understand the sugya. Well, I'm not going in there now. Just be aware of the fact that lurking there is a major, major discussion on how all these different dinim work. Okay, fine. There's a who by fire, who by water, Chvesni, Hashem knows already, so what's the whole story? Vim tamuz b'chenek, b'tfir, o b'sreif rachman al-etzlan, azorah toira al-asiyas maike, mashmuse hi, k'dei sh'yudi lo yechayev. The reason why you have to build a maike is not so somebody won't fall off your roof. The reason why you have to build a maike is that you won't be considered chayev. U'k'dei sh'lo yegalgul esachtoi v'azu al yodah b'em tzusek. So that this tragedy won't roll onto your roof, let it go onto someone else's roof rather. You're not building. You've chayv. No, you're chayv because you didn't build a micah. We magaldigaling chayv chayv al yedei chayv. You know why you have to build a micah? Because Hashem said you have to build a micah. Not because someone might fall off your roof. Because if someone fell off your roof, he was going to fall off your roof no matter what you did. If you build a micah, Hashem said he's not chayv. I can't magaldil to you. You might have to magaldil to somebody else. You separate your actions from the tutsa'ot. Of a kol's man, you don't do tshuva, Hashem considers them connected. It's impossible, but he connects them. If you walk past the river and your friend's drowning, and you don't go in and save him, and he was going to die anyway, it had nothing to do with you. You could have had 50 lifesavers there, this guy was going to drown, and you didn't jump in to save him or do whatever you could to save him, and Kodesh Baruch considers it your remandra. And to do tshuva, the minute you do tshuva, we go back to the situation of you were before Chai. Therefore, the drowning had nothing to do with you. I could have saved him. No, you couldn't talk. We don't know. That's the problem. But you couldn't talk. Uriah, he drowned. But you have to do everything you have to do. And if you don't do it, you're considered a murderer. Doctor in the emergency room, they wheel in a patient. The Gemara says, yes, there are two petechs in the bed. The one that says this guy's life's dependent only on me. And the other one is, it's got nothing to do with me. So look, a sure lie. I have to do everything that I'm responsible for doing as though this guy's life depends upon me. And at the same time, no, says the Lord, sure you. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're a murderer. Until when? Until you do tshuva. We don't understand that. I will say, that's what Gemara is telling us. You should never know what the parents went through, and you should never have to deal with parents like this. You have to really know what you're talking about to help a couple out. Your son, from the time he was created in Shemaim, his neshama had to come down here, and he was going to die at that day, at that time, in that pool. And the Rabbi Nishalim also knew that you weren't going to lock the gate, and therefore you became chayav. Therefore, he rolled this child that needed to drown to your pool. Once you've done tshuva on not locking the gate, nothing else. Don't think that you had anything to do with the child drowning, because it's not true. You may have a hard time living with this in reality. I'm not saying not. How you deal with this practically, and your day. We can get to understand the shkof is a Torah. The shkof is a Torah is that after the tshuva, the law comes to you, neto. That's the Gemara. Roize lipo mishayish is my breast, you shall not fall, where kosum kore ele noifo. Ele shema galg in schulz yale de zakai, ve choyev al yedei chaya, that's what Rebbe Tzirotskin told the doctor, remember? If the operation's successful, I want you to know it's got nothing to do with you. And if it's not successful in Ada, I want you to know it's got nothing to do with you. If it's successful, it's because Magalgin, Zakai, Zakai, and if it's not successful, Magalgin. Okay. So in one page here, we've entered into an entire universe of sugya. So off you go. Thank you for the coffee. I'm going to make a broth, and then we'll take whatever you got. It's a good coffee, by the way.
I'm having trouble with this divorcing effect and cause. So there's another Gemara that says if I go in the woods and I swing an axe at a tree and I was negligent, I didn't check the axe, and it flies off and hits somebody, so I go to golf, right? So now, I understand the Rosh Hashanah saying, me going to Gullis, it's to move the pop here, the fact that I was negligent with making sure that the accident played on the axe, not the actual killing of the person. But if we take that a step further, and on that of this guy, and I take my knife out, and I plunge it into his chest, and I kill him, and
whoa.
He was supposed to be dead.
There's a two-separate subject. You don't think of the two-separate
subjects. I do, but I'm saying it's very easy.
You can do whatever you want. We're trying to stand a shkofas a Torah. No. One second. You have to know where you just stepped in. Yeah, we're talking about you did an Aveira. I just want to get the picture here. You did an Aveira. You were negligent in a certain area, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was magalgal a chayev onto you. Or you did a big mitzvah, and Hashem was magalgal a schus onto you. Right? How do you understand that there's no real bechira involved? You're going to get it. Was a bechira that you didn't make the mitzvah. Maybe there's a bechira there for sure. Let's say there's a bechira there. But there was no bechira. You didn't have bechira in killing the guy. He went on your roof. You didn't even know he was there. He went on your roof and he fell off. It's very different where b'koichoi, when you go and you kill somebody. Now, the question is like this, the Rambam Master's question is a big sugya. One second, let's get the question clear. It's not so posh. Shnia. This is a major subject, fascinating subject. And I've told you, if you want to look at it, Rabbi Tetz has a chapter of this in his book on Bechira, which is compulsory reading if you have any desire to understand anything about how Bechira works. There's a big, big discussion in the Rishonim, already in the Zohar, it's brought down. It's always the Orach Chaim HaKadosh is blamed for this. There is an aspect, and you have to know what the Gedorim are, you have to go learn the studio there, where your Bechira can impact you. Listen to this. your bechira can impact on somebody else, can negate the gezeirah of Hashem. That's how powerful your bechira is. That means you can kill somebody, you can kill somebody who wasn't supposed to die now, through an act of bechira. Again, if there was no bechira involved, we're not talking about that. How you know if there was an act of bechira or not, I'm not talking about that. Where there was an act of bechira, I'm talking in theory now, in Ashkofa, in Alocha, can my bechira override the Rotzon Hashem, so to speak? Then you have to go learn the sugya. Fascinating sugya, fascinating. It's not all encompassing. There's limitations on this principle, but it seems we paskin, yes. You have to know when, how, who are we talking about? Have you have schriot? You don't have schriot. It's a complicated sugya. Yeah, but you're not off the charts completely. However, we're talking about something else here. Something else here completely. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't lock the gate. I didn't throw the kid into the pool. Therefore, I divorced by not locking the gate from the child that drowned. Because he's drowning, it had nothing to do with me. When I stab somebody, you can't tell me that my act of bechira has anything to do with me.
Okay, the forest case. Why is the guy going to Golis?
Because he doesn't appreciate the value of human life. And therefore, when he went to chop wood, he didn't take the necessary steps to make sure that he didn't kill somebody. That's the real reason. You don't value human life. That's why you chayev, and that's why this was magogal to you. This guy in the forest was supposed to get an axe head in his head. So why is it your axe head? Because you were mitrashel, you were negligent. You don't appreciate human life. You should have checked. His korov remains in certain cases. This guy that's innocently chopping wood in the forest, his korov remains in certain situations, the Gemara says there.
What about Katul? Anyway, heavy weapon at the Kohen Gadol died.
Watch when the Kohen Gadol died.
It's not so simple to say, I make two lines, that's it.
No, he does tshuva, but needs a kapara. The person does tshuva, he needs a surim afterwards. For the kapara is another story.
The tshuva is not telling the person for not having checked the...
It's for doing what you did wrong. What you did wrong was what you did.
Wrong, or is that...
You did something wrong. But why are you fired? Why are you fired? Why are you fired? Why are you fired? Because you didn't build the mica. Maybe. Again. One second. Hashem's computer is very multi-leveled and whatever. I'm trying to learn a principle. When I'm learning a principle, I can't apply to setting in different cases. The principle is clear. You're chayes. In this case, it's obvious. Why do I have to go look for something else when it's obvious why he's chayes? He didn't build a mic and the guy fell off his roof. Watch it. That from that, I can extract the principle. Now you go apply the principle in all the multiple cases. When you're after Paskin, the Shana, you're Paskin based on this principle. But the cases always look different. I'm saying the different case between Baruch, where the principles are different, to the case we're dealing with here, where the principles are not the same. It's different between Maman Amazik and Adam Amazik. You should know that for now.
The principle
is you're not paying for anything. You did something you weren't supposed to do that made you chayim. This guy has to die in a certain way. So Hashem says, let's make you the chayev. Let's roll this tragedy to your door. Because the suffering and the pain or whatever, Hashem got it all, whatever is what you need for the kapara, etc., etc., etc. You're driving down the street and a dog runs out into your car and you kill the dog. You think that was an accident? You think that was an accident? Who put the dog there? Hashem, because you needed that event to happen to you. Why? Okay. Why? You killed somebody, you damaged somebody's property, you have to pay for it. Maybe you were negligent. In this country, if you hit something, you're negligent. No, but did not try that, I don't be negligent.
Well,
because of your question, I don't know. You changed from your question. Your question was, it might not have been this event that I was negligent in that made me hire. It was another event. So it could be that Hashem threw the dog into your car, not because you were driving negligently, although according to the law you weren't, but according to the Torah, maybe you weren't. It might have been something you did yesterday. You might not have spoken nicely to your wife yesterday, and therefore Hashem threw a dog into your car today. I don't know. How am I ever going to know? Why would I even spend time speculating on that?
It's the market and it's very